The Lions get a massive win on the road on Monday Night Football, 38-30. Defense comes up big with a couple big stops, one at the goal line, forcing Derrick Henry to fumble. And their offense looking explosive once again. Eagles come back and beat the Rams 33-26. Niners 3-0. A lot of injuries still. Another season of a lot of injuries. Nick Bosa, torn ACL. Buccaneers 3-0. Every game, one score game. Nail biter after nail biter. And they keep coming out on top. Michael Penix benched in a 30-0 loss to the Panthers. Not good, not good. All this and more. This is the Fulmer Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fulmer Rooski Podcast by Powered 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. He's CJ Medeiros. Week three has officially come and gone. And as we just saw, the Lions getting it done against the Ravens 38-30. I'm going to throw this question out there right now. Does Derrick Henry have a fumbling problem?
I don't know. It's hard to tell after three games. But CBS did put out this stat that he has two fumbles in the last three games, which is alarming when you consider the fact he has two fumbles in his last 136 games before that. Once is bad luck. Twice is concerning. If it happens thrice, it's a trend. Once you get to three, then yeah, I'm going to have to look at him a little funny. But in the meantime, I'm going to stop short of calling it a problem. I would call it more so a nagging concern.
I think it's concerning that it also happened on two like big primetime games as well, where it was a one score, or I think in the Bills game, actually, for a matter, it was a two-score game, and it kind of evidently led to the Bills finishing their comeback. But either way, in big spots of the games, like Derrick Henry ends up fumbling on primetime football against two Super Bowl contending teams. So that's kind of a tough look if you're Baltimore and that's your lead running back doing that. But I think I'm looking at the defense right now, and I mean, Detroit just came out and they built off of that 52-point performance against Chicago last week, put up 38. There was a lot of very, very good drives in the fourth quarter, and Baltimore's defense just had no chance. That's all it really was. Jared Goff looked really good. David Montgomery looked really good. Monrus looked really good. They got to Lamar six times tonight. Six sacks, never mind the quarterback hits. Aiden Hutchinson looking like his defensive player of the year self from last year. Detroit, I think, is fully back.
Yeah. And I did say this preseason, their first game or two might have been a bit of an adjustment, you know, when you got to navigate life without Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn and a handful of assistants as well. Because I think their passing game coordinator, Tanner Engstrand, is now an OC somewhere else. I want to say with the Jets. Defensive line coach, Terrell Williams, now the defensive coordinator for the Patriots. So yeah, you got poached even more so beyond your coordinators, but you came back and you rocked the Ravens 38-30. Now that in and of itself is huge, but like you said, they got to Lamar six times. And when we talk about defenses, the Ravens had no answers for David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. They combined, and I kid you not, they combined for over 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Ravens had absolutely no answer for that Lions ground game. And Lamar did have a good game. Like, it was 38-30. So let's not beat around the bush. Yeah, but I would say, but let's not beat around the bush. The Ravens got their licks in, but hey, at the end of the day, that's a touchdown and 2-point conversion, 1-score game. Maybe it goes differently if Derrick Henry doesn't cough up the ball, not once, but twice. But, and the only upside, if you're a Ravens fan outside of Lamar playing well, is if you're a fantasy owner of Mark Andrews. I mean, hey, he's finally woken up, but if you're like me, you had him on your bench, that doesn't help you all that much. So for the Lions, yeah, they, to quote John Wick, speaking from the Lions' perspective, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. Yeah. That's my takeaway. The Lions are officially back. They stumbled out of the gate versus Green Bay. They put the hurt on Chicago, and they beat the Ravens, who are a contender in their own right. But moving on to the Ravens themselves, Harbaugh, what's it going to take, man? You know, like, at this point, I know technically they're Super Bowl contenders, but for the love of God, I cannot take Harbaugh seriously. I just can't. And you know, it's bad when Fumble Rooski resident Ravens fan, our good friend Justin Tucker, can't stand him either. And I know many other Ravens fans that just are so done with him. So what's it going to take? I mean, if you cannot beat the Lions in week 3, keep in mind, the Ravens usually have luck against other, at least AFC contenders in the regular season. So if you can't even beat the Lions in the regular season, no. Don't talk to me about any sort of playoffs, to loosely paraphrase Jim Mora there. But once again, that's a good victory for the Lions. For the Ravens, yeah, this one's going to sting a bit. You know, maybe don't give up 17 points in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, that Ravens offensive line, which they invested a lot of money in, you know, they threw Ronnie Stanley the bag, and they spent all that money to overhaul their defense as well. You couldn't tell from last season. You cannot tell. And I, like I said, I know it was a 1-score game. However, this isn't something you want to hang your hat on, unless you're like Lamar or maybe Mark.
Yeah, and you know, the secondary is supposed to be better this year, just like the defense in general, as you mentioned, and one of their acquisitions was Jaire Alexander, and he hasn't played a single snap yet. So it's like,
no, he played in week 1 and just got toasted.
Oh yeah, my bad. But either way, it's not looking great, and like offensively, it looks like they were just front. They still put up 30 points, yeah, but like there was times where they're getting very frustrated with what was going on the field. Like there was times that where they wanted to get up and run tempo on the Lions, and when they eventually did, or they were running tempo and were trying to get up to the line quick to try to punch it in, and Harbaugh kind of like just didn't really let it happen. He just told him to let it run out to the 2-minute warning. And then they tried doing it after that. And this is at the end of the first half. They tried doing it after that. Lions get the goal line stand, and it's because Detroit was all over it. Like they just, and I feel like that was a huge turning point in the game at that rate. Cause it was like, it kind of felt like one of those, like a Dan Campbell just outsmarted John Harbaugh type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably felt that way because that's how it was.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Campbell, known for being attack first, ask questions later, you know, type of coach. He completely ran over Harbaugh in the game plan department. And a lot of it, like you said, or like I wanted to mention here, just really kind of felt like Harbaugh maybe outsmarted himself a bit. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but he was not on his A game.
Yeah.
Not in any way, shape, or form. And maybe I'm being needlessly alarmist, but seriously, I just don't know how to describe it other than the obvious. He just kept outsmarting himself. Like when you mentioned him running tempo up until the 2 minute warning, where all of a sudden he just says, "Oh, I'm just gonna take it down to the two." Why would you do that? Why would you do that? There's no reason to do that.
Yeah. Especially when, like, afterwards, then you're like trying to quick snap Detroit, and Detroit's just all over it. They're ready for it. Like, they had time to talk about it during the 2 minute warning that you were going to do that, and they saw it coming, and they made three big stops out of it. Granted, yeah, Baltimore did end up getting a three and out on Detroit in the ensuing possession and scored, but that was when the frustration started to boil in for Baltimore. Let's talk about the Eagles. Getting the comeback victory and beating the Rams 33-26. The Eagles in the first half had minus 1 yard of total passing offense in the first half. They had like 33 total yards as a team in the first half. And then, or Jalen Hurts might add 30 himself. I forget. But then Jalen Hurts went on to throw for over 200 yards in the second half and lit it up. And it was kind of just reminded us that they choose not to throw the ball, not because Jalen Hurts is bad. It's because they can just run it down your goddamn throat. Yeah, Barkley had 46 yards. It was not the day for him, but in this type of game, Philly had to kind of unleash it in the second half. So ended up scoring 26 points in the second half alone, ending it on a block field goal for six, which was oddly one of many big defensive and special teams plays that were made this week. Special teams really coming up big, to say the least. But if you're the Rams, this was a game that, you know, we're probably going to go maybe a couple weeks, a little further down the season, right? And the Rams are going to look back on this game and think, we really should have had that game. We really could have used that game right about now. Because this is one of those games, especially for a team like the Rams that have a little bit more playoff aspiration than they did last year. Like, that could be a momentum. That could be a momentum killer.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I am aware of who they played. I know it was the Philadelphia Eagles, and I know that they're the reigning Super Bowl champs. However, I just don't care. I know who they are. I know what they're about. I know their play style. I know all there is to know. But do you know what else I know, Chris?
What is it?
I know that you're supposed to hold a 26-9 lead. I know that when you hold your opponent to 9 points, that is not your cue to give up 24 unanswered. I don't understand how you accomplish this. I know what happened. Like, I saw the game, but I'm flabbergasted. There have been so many blown leads in just this year alone, right? For example, the Chicago Bears completely imploded against JJ McCarthy and the Minnesota Vikings. Hell, week one, the Buffalo Bills stunned the Baltimore Ravens. And now, like you see these mistakes. Like you see when these teams get up, they play careless football. They have all these stupid penalties, weird little turnovers, stalled drives, and you decide, oh hey, let's replicate that. Surely it'll work for us. No, it doesn't. And this is why when we talk about contenders in the NFC, if the Rams are included in that conversation, they are in the lower echelon of contenders. You know, because we talk about these Super Bowl contenders versus, oh, these guys could surprise you if they get hot at the right time. There's a reason why if you are the LA Rams, you are not being mentioned the same breath as Green Bay, Detroit, Philly, Washington. Hell, I'd even take the Bucs over them.
I would take the Bucs over them 100 times out of 100.
That's correct. A lot of people wouldn't, but hey, you got to give them their flowers, but we'll get to that later. But the Rams, I would just say this is why. Like, am I wrong to say this is why? That I know the playoffs are a long way away, that you are not considered among the elite of the NFC. And don't look now, Rams, but the Seahawks, led by Sam Darnold, are breathing down your throat. Or down your neck. Down your neck. Breathing down your throat. That sounds very weird.
That does sound very weird. But point made. But Eagles did what they do. That's just how they are. It's just still wild, you know. Like, the Rams had it, right? Like, this was their game. Like, they almost came back and won last year in the NFC divisional round. Like, this was – or the – well, or, yeah, divisional round. I was trying to remember which one it was, but divisional round in the snow, Rams almost came back and won, and they probably were thinking, we should have had that. Here they are again. We should have had it. And as you mentioned, CJ, it's games like this where – you should have beat a Super Bowl contender and you just couldn't get the job done. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the 49ers. Jeez, injuries galore, but Mac Jones has led them to a 3-0 record. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Gostich. 49ers. Despite all these injuries, no Brock Purdy, now no Nick Bosa, just announced he's got a torn ACL. The list goes on. Mac Jones steps in, and they get 2 wins. One at home against the division rival Arizona Cardinals, game-winning kick. Right? Imagine if Jake Moody was the kicker for that. Imagine if Jake Moody was the kicker for that. That was a damn good move to make the switch if you're Kyle Shanahan. And it obviously it paid off. But more importantly, Mac freaking Jones.
Oh, he's got a prop.
Mac Jones. Ballin'. I mean, look, yeah, Mac Jones ain't actually like out here tearing the streets up in San Francisco. Maybe it is. Maybe he just is. 284 yards, 27 for 41. 65.9% completion percentage. Obviously, like, yeah, it's not the greatest game in the world. It's a solid game. You're getting enough out of him. Ricky Pearsall had a really good game. However, I didn't like how Mac Jones threw Christian McCaffrey, such a hospital pass in the flat. That was disgusting. But it's Mac Jones. But it's almost, you know, we talked about this the week that Mac Jones got his first start against the Saints. This is who Kyle Shanahan originally wanted. Is the offense looking how Kyle Shanahan probably wants it to? No. I don't think so. But now he's got the guy that he actually wanted all along to begin with. And maybe he makes something out of nothing with it. But with all these other injuries, like we mentioned, Nick Bosa, you kind of wonder how much longer it's going to go. They did say Brock Purdy may be back for this next week, but how much hotter can you get this flame?
I don't know. And to be honest, not that much hotter because, like you mentioned, the 49ers have another goddamn injury. Another one. This time, Nick Bosa. And this isn't even a whole, oh, he'll be back later. Nah. This is an ACL tear. His season is over. And it gets to a point where, look, can the Niners still be good? Yeah, I mean, I think so. Can they stay on this tear they're on? I'm not certain of that. But good God, we need to sit down and have a serious discussion about the 49ers injury problem. Because ever since they lost that Super Bowl to Kansas City back in 2019, it seems like every other year until recently, they're hurt. And I say every year until recently because they've been hurt the last 2 years. The injury bug isn't even bothering to visit them every other year. This is now the second straight year. It's got one of those crappy little studio apartments in the San Francisco metro area now. Because it just lives there in Santa Clara where the Niners are. God. And it gets to a point where if you're the Niners, when do you stop saying we just have bad luck and say, maybe it's me? No. Chris, and anyone listening, I urge you to consider if you're the Niners, when do you throw this notion of bad luck out the window and start saying, maybe we have something to do with it? Because their strength and conditioning coach, or as they call it, the vice president of player health and performance, is a man named Dustin Perry. He oversees sports medicine, strength, conditioning, rehabilitation, functional performance, and nutrition for the team. And I have to ask, why the hell is he still there? I mean, look, I'm not even a Niners fan, but even I can admit it is probably for the best that this guy gets launched off, the San Francisco Bay sooner rather than later. And he has been around. This is per the San Francisco 49ers website. It said this is his sixth season with the 49ers in general and his fourth as the team's head strength and conditioning coach. Doesn't that fit the timeline a little too well? Actually, this is the updated site on sanfrancisco49ers.com. As you can see, I'm on their website. By the way, what I read to you, I'm sorry, that was a lie. That was, sometimes Google will show you an outdated thing. Here's what it is. Like I said, Niners.com. Looking at it right now. Dustin Perry is in his eighth season with the Niners and the sixth as the team's head strength conditioning coach. Oh, my God. Just think about it. You draft these kids that come out of college. They have clean bills of health. Never had so much as a scratch on them. They set foot on the practice field and everything inside them breaks. Or you sign a big name free agent that barely has any injury history and they come to the Niners. That's when they get their season ender. Niners, so you got to make a change at some point. You can't keep saying, oh, we just had bad injury luck. No, this is a systemic problem now. And if you keep getting hurt, do you really think you'll be able to keep up your streak? Yeah, you're 3-0 right now. But it's like, hey, now do it without Ayuk. Now do it without Kittle for a game. Now do it without quarterback. Okay, now do it without Nick Bosa, who's arguably the best player on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. And looking at their schedule coming up, they got the Jaguars this next week, and then they got short rest Thursday night football against the Rams. Then after that, it's the Bucs, and then they got the Falcons. So this could be a pretty interesting stretch coming up for San Francisco.
I guess, yeah, I don't know.
I don't really know what to make of San Francisco for this next week, especially against Jacksonville. Cause like Jacksonville, I don't even know what to make of Jacksonville.
They're just on two enigmas essentially.
Yeah. But like, then they, like I said, go against the Rams and the Bucks. Like the Bucks at this point, I feel like the Bucks are going to end up beating the Niners, but like the Rams game, that's anyone's freaking taken at that point. Speaking of the Bucs, every game has come down to the wire and has won every single game. Baker Mayfield is inevitable. Baker Mayfield is that guy and was always that guy. And it seems like every single week he just has someone new that he puts a target on and just goes with it. Big win against the Falcons. Late game winning drive. Big late game winning drive against the Texans. Speaking of blocked field goals, blocked field goal in this game as well. Shout out to Rod Taylor, 26 for 36, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception in this game. This wasn't the most fantastic Baker made, like the stats didn't wow you. But when you get into the fact that this is now 2 weeks in a row where Tampa Bay has had a depleted O-line, along with obviously no Chris Godwin, Amika Egbuka was beaten up going into this week. There was a lot of different variables, especially for Tampa to lose. But Baker Mayfield did it again. I feel like he could be in the conversation as top 5 MVP right now through 3 games.
Yeah. I absolutely believe that, you know, like you said, Baker's in the MVP conversation. And if not for the reason of his stats, which I will tell you they are pretty good, do you know why? Because every game, like you said, is close, but every game he manages to just pull it out. This man has that clutch gene, and believe you me, that can't be taught. And for what it's worth, across the first 3 games, he has a completion percentage of 61.1%. Which isn't the best, but that's just his first game kind of weighing it down. He's been over 65 against the Texans and the Jets. He has 615 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, no picks, and a passer rating of 99.5. And that is just passing. So Tampa, they're winning these close games. They're in the games they should. I would prefer if they maybe played a little better in the sense that I'd like to see a blowout from them or two sooner rather than later. Maybe not against the Patriots. They're my team. But, you know, I throw that joke in there. But and, you know, we talk about them as possible Super Bowl contenders, you know, as a team that can make some noise in the NFC. And the one stumbling block that I see on that end is their head coach. Chris, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
I think he's a very serviceable coach, but I don't know if he's the guy you can win with. And I'd love for him to prove me wrong. You know, because I do think he's a solid coach, and he seems like a really nice guy. Like, I think You know, Baker's a great quarterback. I'd love to see Mike Evans get another ring. But I'm not sold, because it's great that you have that clutch gene, but does it need to be activated every single game? Like, are you really sure you want to be giving your fans these heart attacks week in and week out? I mean, hell, you let the Jets almost beat you. I'm just saying, maybe we'd like to see a 2-score win, you know, a convincing game next week. That's all. But I mean, don't get me wrong, they're still contenders, but, you know, you've already proven that you're clutch. Now it's time to maybe get a convincing win or two.
Yeah, no, I get that. I just also think it's hard to do that when, like, 4 or 5 linemen are all out. So, like,
That's true. Like, I get it. You know, they don't have Werfs. They don't have I always butcher the guy, the other tackle's name, Gotteke.
Yep, Gotteke. Gotteke. Gotteke.
Yeah. You know, I know he's missing both of his tackles, and that by itself is a nightmare.
Cody Monch is on IR.
What'd you say?
Cody Monch as well, and Gotteke on IR.
Good gracious. Yeah. I get it, but as long as Baker's getting the ball out as fast as he is, I think they should be fine.
Yeah, and there's a chance you have Chris Godwin back this week against Philly.
Oh, that's going to be a scary unit. Yeah. I mean, sure, the offensive line's banged up, but imagine Godwin in a receiver room that already has Mike Evans, Emeka Egbuka, and wide receiver they have there, McMillan from Washington. And tight end Kate Otten, and a good running back in Bucky Irving, and a serviceable backup in Rashad White.
Yeah. It's a dangerous offense. There is no getting around that. By the way, Jalen McMillan's still on IR. I don't know if you realize that, but.
Oh, McMillan's still on IR?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's okay.
But still, he's good, is my point.
Yeah. Yeah, once he comes back from injury, don't really know when it'll be. I haven't really looked into much of it, but it's a neck injury, so Lord knows. But yeah, this is going to be a good unit. Very awesome offensive unit to watch. That is going to be for certain. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into Atlanta losing 30-0. Michael Penix getting benched. Benched. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 818 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. CJ, Chris. Let's do it. Panthers get their first win of the season, and they absolutely spanked the Falcons. This wasn't even a big game from Bryce Young. It was just the Panthers defense smothering Atlanta all day long. Bijan still had a good game, 5.5. I mean, Atlanta in general, 5.7 yards per carry. But, like, just too many bad mistakes from Penix. He went 18 for 36, 2 interceptions, a 12.4 QBR, got benched, and Kirk Cousins went 5 for 7 for 29 yards. So we got a little Kirk action. Chuba Hubbard, 17 carries, 73 yards. This wasn't really, like I said, not a big offensive game. This was a Carolina defensive masterclass that also involved two interceptions, one of them being a pick six. So, and now we go back to Michael Penix, right? Because this was the whole controversy last year. Kirk Cousins wasn't playing up to par, and then they benched him for Michael Penix. Now Penix isn't playing up to par. The guy that they got on a first round pick after they signed Kirk to the massive deal. And now you know, there's other teams around the league that are kind of quarterback needy, but now aren't going to take you up on your offer because you paid them so much goddamn money. Decisions. What do you do now? You also just decided to fire wide receivers coach. What do we do now? Is the wide receivers coach really the problem? What do we do now? CJ, your thoughts.
That team ain't right. That team is just not right. It's like every time since the Super Bowl, they have a shred of hope. Reality punches them right in the penix. And if penix turns out to be a flop, even if this season isn't up to snuff, now kick GM Terry Fontenot right into the street. Because you remember at the time, well, at least on the show, I was one of the loudest critics of double dipping, you know, giving Kirk Cousins an absolute haul in free agency and drafting a quarterback first overall. So why did you do that? And you know the old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none, right? So if that's the case, and they both suck, do you have, like, what, none squared? And yeah, maybe I'm being a bit of a character. Maybe, just maybe, I'm being too harsh, because to be fair, it's not like Bryce Young played that well. He was very pedestrian. He had one touchdown on the ground. He had like two carries for 8 yards. Went 16-24, 121 yards. But it was mostly a ground game type of day, and they also had a pick six. But if you're the Falcons, right, Penix, 172 yards, two picks, 18 of 36, which it should be if my math is right. It's probably not. I wasn't a math major in college. I would say it was 50%. You got to let me finish, Chris. But, yeah, no, it was 56. But, you know. And, yeah, Bijan had a solid day. But at the end of the day, it wasn't enough. Getting shut out in the NFL sucks. Against the division rival sucks. But against the Panthers, you are an unserious team. And I'll tip my hat to head coach Dave Canales. That was a masterclass on his end. That is literally making the best of a bad situation and putting bell to ass against a division rival.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, there's not really much else to really touch on that besides the fact that, you know, Man is in this spot because, well, they did it to themselves. And I think, like I said, the craziest part to me is now you have Kirk on this massive deal and nowhere to put him. Because, no, like I said, no one's going to take that contract. Unless Cincy's just like, oh, let's do it. But no way in hell are they going to do it, because they just freaking went to war with their edge rusher, Trey Hendrickson, over a contract, and they're at war with a fucking rookie right now, or been at war with a rookie. So I don't expect Kirk to be moving anytime soon. All right. Week three, top three, bottom three. Do this every single week. Do three teams, or we do a game for each top and the bottom. And of course, let us know who you think we left on the list. And we'll go through some honorable mentions too, because there are some honorable suckings this week. Pause. Top three Panthers. Defense showed out today. Showed out Sunday. Two picks. One of them a pick six. Also a fumble recovery. Great day. Great day to be a Panthers fan. Commanders. Playing with Marcus Mariota. Ended up with 41 points against the Raiders. And we're not talking about the Raiders from last year. This is a Raiders team that can get the ball out there. This is a Raiders team that has Geno Smith that can, that they're going to be willing to have throw 40 times. McNichols, 4 carries, 78 yards, a touchdown. Mariota didn't have the shiniest numbers, but he got the job done. And on top of that, 5 sacks on Geno Smith.
Nice.
Got to the quarterback. Vikings, similar thing, right? Obviously, to a much larger extent, Carson Wentz coming in as backup quarterback and getting the job done. 48-10. Offense was clicking. Defense was clicking. Jordan Mason, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns, 352 total yards to 171. And, of course, the biggest one of all, 5 forced turnovers in this game. 13 penalties, though. Let's clean that up. Let's clean that up, and you got yourself a good ball club here. But, I mean, this was such a beatdown. They ended up getting the third string in there. The third string, Max Brosmer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Bengals honorable mention, of course. Yeah. You got Jake Browning, but just all around not a good day. The defense looked lackluster. That's the safest way to really say it for the Bengals, as the honorable mention. To the bottom three, Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
They got exposed. They got exposed, I'd say more so defensively, of course. But this was a game where Dak Prescott ended up getting benched for Joe Milton. Dak went 31 for 40, 2 interceptions, 251 yards. Caleb Williams showed out 4 touchdown passes, including a flea flicker touchdown. But if you're Dallas, this just was not a good game at all. And I think we figured out the weakness for Dallas, and it's the deep ball. They cannot cover the deep ball to save their life. Atlanta lost 30-0, and now your quarterback situation seems ever so gloomy. That's it. Green Bay.
Oh, what a fall from grace that
first
was.
First off, Cleveland Browns, honorary top three mention. I'm going to get to the Browns in a second, but Green Bay, you lost 13-10 to the Browns. I will say this Browns team is nothing like the team. This team isn't anything to scoff at. Of course, offensively, it's not a good team. Defensively, they are a good team. We'll get to that.
Yeah, so they got some nice guys on defense. Come on now.
Yeah, no, for sure. But really, it was, you were up 10-0 in the fourth quarter. You let up 13 unanswered. Jordan Love got sacked 5 times. Josh Jacobs did not look good. This entire team, sub 3 yards per carry on the ground total. Seems like we got Jordan Love outside of Toyotathon. Tough. All right, let's talk about the Brownies.
Reserved.
This team needs a little bit more respect, especially through these first 3 weeks of football, because what they're doing is pretty impressive. I mean, yeah, they gave up 41 points to Baltimore, right? Yeah, that is pretty straightforward. But Derrick Henry, 23 yards on the ground. Josh Jacobs only had 30 yards on the ground this past week. And Chase Brown, 43 yards rushing, just barely 2 yards per carry for him in that game, week one. So this defense has stepped, especially against the Bengals team that is supposed to be a high-powered offense. Of course, this is the September Bengals we're talking about here, of course, but still have to give them their flowers on that. This is not going to be any sort of pushover team, and I expect them to be in a lot, many more games to come. CJ.
Yeah, I certainly agree. We got a lot more to cover. Can't wait. But you really got to, I really got to tip my hat to the Browns here, like you mentioned. That's like the one thing I'll say, because, you know, we're getting past 45 minutes. And I don't want to, you know, take up too much of the listeners' time.
I mean, we've we've been going over an hour the last few weeks.
Yeah, so. I know. And Adam hasn't yelled at us yet. So, hey, fingers crossed he won't this time. Yay. Yeah, but I got to tell you, I know they technically weren't good enough to be top three, but that Browns defense, you know, with guys like Myles Garrett, JOK, Denzel Ward, that's a pretty nice unit, and they showed it. Meanwhile, Jordan Love, not quite Toyota-thon yet, buddy.
Yeah. Another, well, I guess we'll call it honorable mention, I guess, is the Jags got a quality divisional win against the Texans, but boy, how does Shane Waldron still have a goddamn job in the league?
We may never know. I'll do you one better. What the hell is going on with the Texans? I know I say every week they just can't recapture that magic they had of Stroud's rookie year, but I'm getting scared.
Yeah, not for sure. Ever since, I remember the Monday night game between the Bears and the Texans last year, and Stroud was giving Caleb Williams words of advice after the game. Remember, like, that clip? Ever since then, Caleb Williams has had a better completion percentage, more touchdowns, and more yards than C.J. Stroud since that game.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I just don't know what's going to take. Since they had that, what's the old offensive coordinators there, Bobby Slowick miracle run, they haven't been able to do the same. They haven't been able to replicate it. They chucked him, and now they're still in the offensive doldrums.
Back to Shane Waldron real quick though. This is a dude that made us think that JSN was a bum in Seattle. This is a guy that made us think that Keenan Allen was washed and that Roma Dunze was a bust. And now he's making Brian Thomas Jr. look like a pussy and Travis Hunter look like a nobody. All while Roma Dunze, JSN, and Keenan Allen are all performing top dollar again. Or Keenan Allen again, but JSN and Roma Dunze are blossoming right now. Like, look at this past week. Brian Thomas Jr., 2 catches. Travis Hunter, 1 catches. Guess who led the team in targets in this game?
But who was it? Wait for it.
Parker Washington.
Yeah.
11 targets. That should tell you all you really need to know about what's going on in Jacksonville.
Once again, we may never know why Shane Waldron has a job. It's like, you know, back in like prehistoric times, you know, caveman reaches his hand to the fire, gets burned. It's like, oh my God, hot. And does it again. It's like Shane Waldron. And that's how it is with Shane Waldron. I don't know why he still has a job. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Travis Hunter only had 2 targets. Brian Thomas had 6 targets. But, like, as your number one receiver, he should be getting more than 6. Brent Strange had 7 targets, still more than BTJ. But, yeah, that's first loss of the season for the Jaguars right there. I had to reread that for a second there. Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah. I was questioning myself for a second there, and then, all right, we're good. That's all the scheduled content that we have for you today. CJ, anything on your end?
No, not really.
You sure?
Nah. The only thing I was going to say was, you want to hear the pick'em results?
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you for reminding me.
You know, we do that sometimes. You know, we like to bring it up on the show. So here we go for last week. I believe for the second straight week now, Adam has come in last place.
I was about to say, I had a feeling I had some bad losers this week.
Yeah, no, I did too. This wasn't, you and I were not on our A game this week. Adam had, drum roll please, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 predictions right out of 15.
Damn, he didn't even get 50%. That's crazy. Now,
you, 1, 2, 3,
that was a long two.
4. Yeah, sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You should not have picked the Saints or the Giants. But hey, go big or go home. I do appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? Like the Giants had them for like.
No, no, you were right. You were right.
Giants had it for three quarters.
Yep. Me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God, Patriots, why'd you do that to me? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And now, finally, our good friend, Justin Tucker. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So that means that leaves you with sole possession of the lead through three weeks of football. Because we were tied first 2 weeks.
Yeah, so it feels good. Will it hold? Probably not, but it feels good.
I'm going to need a big week this week. No more upsets.
No, you don't.
Picking all the favorites. That'll do it for us tonight, or for us today. Thank you for tuning in. New episode coming out on Friday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast. Keep up the pod. And the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, CC Jimenez, I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Friday. Over and out.